our lives count, because life is short. It doesn't take a genius to figure out the fact that our lives have a beginning and an end. We all have that. In fact, speaking of the frail nature of our lives, James says this, James 4:14. He says, "And you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Gee, that's so comforting, isn't it? You think, what a great upper moment to think about. But it's one of those things that the reality is that we are eternal beings. Every single one of us is created for eternity. Now, to some of us, those of us who have received God's free gift of grace through Jesus Christ, we will spend eternity celebrating with God in heaven. And to others who have chosen to reject God's grace, they'll also live for eternity, but they'll be in a different place, separated from God and His grace. See, we all know that life is fragile. It's temporary. And we want to make the most, we want to make it count, the life that we have. Because the reality is that every single one of us have a tendency to kind of slip into autopilot mode. You know what I'm talking about? You have those kind of moments when you're driving or when you're just going about life. I do that all the time. I'll be going somewhere in autopilot mode. I'll get off the freeway, go to my house, and I'm like, hey, I was supposed to go somewhere. You guys ever do that? We kind of get in that autopilot mode of, I'm just going through the motions of life. And sometimes we have to stop. We forget that what we do here, to quote the great gladiator Maximus, what we do in life echoes in eternity. And though he had it wrong in a lot of ways, he was right about that. What we do here on earth matters. What we spend our lives doing matters. There's a phrase that we even use to describe this whole time slipping between our fingers. So I don't know where the time has gone, right? You ever say that phrase? You look at an old picture and you say, I don't know where the time has gone. You look at our kids and we say, man, where's the time gone? They're so big. I remember when they were just this size. We look at, we get invited to a high school reunion and we're reminded of, where's the time gone, right? We go to some sort of reunion. We look at our wedding photos, which my wife and I got to do this last week after celebrating 14 years of marriage. We're so excited. It's such a joy to be married to your best friend. But we looked at our pictures and I thought, who are those kids? Who are those kids? Where is the time gone? And here's an idea that maybe we stop wondering where our time has gone and tell our time where to go and invest our time in things that matter. We make it count with the time that we've got on this earth. See, we only get one turn around this thing called life on earth. And this morning, I want to share a specific passage that spoke to me a few months ago. As we were in the process of praying, actually, about coming here to New Heart, something that God spoke to me and revealed to me, and I thought it was for me, and I wrote it down, and God spoke to me profoundly. But as I was praying about this morning and what to share with you, the Lord reminded me that this is for us as well. This is for all of us. We need to be reminded. It's in Genesis chapter 11, and it's just a snippet. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. You can wait for a second to put it on the screen. But before we get to the passage, I want to give you a little backstory. Sometimes we do that. We go to the Bible, and we just flip it open, and we start reading. And it's kind of like if you ever turned on the TV, and you catch an episode that you have no idea what's happening. Like you're watching a show, and you're like, who are these characters? What's the story? How are they here? What's going on? Like you flip on a movie in the middle of it. That's what happens sometimes when we come to Scripture. So here's a little backstory. Our story focuses on a man named Abram, who would later be named Abraham, who would later become the father of God's people. He's a very important guy in the story of God. Again, he's the father of the nation of Israel. But this is before he was that guy. He's still a younger guy. He's married to his wife Sarai, who would be named Sarah. And he's living with his father named Terah. Now, his father was the patriarch of the family at this time. So he was the boss. He was kind of the chief of the family. And this is before he has become the father of Israel. And so we pick up the story on moving day. Don't you know that moving days are never fun? They say that moving is like one of life's biggest stressors. Like it ranks right up there with the loss of a family member. I mean, it's a huge stressor. Of course, whoever decided that and said that never moved here to Simi Valley to New Heart, because we had a great moving day. You guys all showed up, and it was cool. But that's where we pick up. We pick up on moving day, Genesis 11, 31 through 32. This is what it says, just a snippet of this story. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Say those three words. They settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years. It was an old dude. And Terah died in Haran. It's just a little snippet of this story. But as I read that passage of scripture, God sparked something in my heart. He reminded me of something profound and important. He reminded me, and I want you to catch this, is that they were going somewhere. They were going to the land of Canaan, a land that we would later be known as the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, this beautiful and abundant and awesome place to live. And as they were going, they settled. They settled short of where they were going. And I want to talk about that idea of settling before we get to where we're going, before we get to where God has called us to go. Because there's a difference between settling in the place that looks comfortable and the place that God has for you. There's a tendency in all of us to find ourselves in places of comfort before we've gotten to the place that God has us, to say, hey, this is comfortable. Let me just settle down here a little while. That's a nice park bench. I'll just sit down for a while. I'll just relax. There's a tendency for us to settle. And just like this man who settled and died in that place of settling before getting to the place, ultimately, that would be known as the promised land, I believe that that can happen in our lives. See, there's a difference between a good thing and a God thing. There's a huge difference. There's a giant chasm between those things. And sometimes in life, we settle for the good things. Things that look good on the outside. Things that if someone looking in our lives would say, hey, that's a good thing. That's not bad. But we settle short of what God has for us in our lives. In other words, they're not sinful things. They're not evil things. No one would look at it and say, man, what he's doing is so wrong. They're not bad things. They're just not God things. See, we allow good things to take a place of God things in our lives. We settle for things that are less than what God has for us. I want to introduce you to a ship. You're saying this is out of left field. But this is a ship called Amazing Grace. It's a beautiful 83-foot topsail schooner, for those of you who are interested in the details. It's ported out of the port of San Diego. In fact, it's going to be, there's a Tall Ships of Los Angeles that's coming next month. This isn't a plug for it, but my boys are interested in these kind of things. They think they want to be pirates, so we got to go see the ships. But as I was looking at this ship, I was reminded of something. It's a beautiful ship, and when you go to the port and you see these ships tied to the dock, they're gorgeous, right? They've got all beautiful, intricate woodwork, and you know, if you're into that stuff, they got giant cannons and cool things that look like pirate ships. I mean, they bring you back to like being Peter Pan. Like you just want to, you know, climb the ropes and I don't know. But they're cool. But when you see them at port, you don't see them where they're made to be. In other words, when you see the tall booms and you see the ropes all tied up and they're anchored or they're tied to a dock, they're beautiful, but they're not where they're made to be. That's where they're made to be. That's actually probably not even far enough out. But these kind of beautiful ships are made for voyage. They're made to go out into the deep oceans. That's why they have deep hulls. That's why they're built the way that they are, with the keel that goes down deep to keep them safe in those deep waters. See, when I see a ship like that, I say, that ship was not designed for harbor. It was designed for the ocean. It was designed to set sail. And just like Abraham's dad in Terah, I believe some of us find the safety of harbor alluring. The idea of tying our boat to the dock and resting a while seems alluring. It seems comforting. But though God has designed us, he's made us for the deep things. Sometimes we don't press into those deep things. Sometimes we stay where it's safe, where it's comfortable, where it doesn't take any risk to hang out. And I want to ask you a question. What are the areas that you've settled in? What are the areas where, just like a boat like this, you've decided, I'm going to go up to the port, I mean, just relax. Get away from the ocean for a while. Get away from the big waves and just relax. What are the areas of your life that you've chosen the safe path? You've chosen the comfort instead of choosing what God has called you to do. See, there's areas that we compromise, that we settle for less than God would have for us. What are those areas where you've taken a good thing instead of a God thing? Where you've chosen the easy path instead of God's ways? I want to share with you a few practical ways that we settle. The first way that we settle is in our standards. We can settle morally, right? We can stop short of what God has for us in our standards morally. We know what God's word says about our lives and about how we should live our lives the best possible way. It could be in 1,000 different ways. You know, for those who aren't married, you know what God has called you to in your sexuality. And you say, well, I don't want to live to that. That's too hard. For those who are married, you know that God has called you to fidelity, not just physically, but relationally, emotionally. But sometimes we allow those things. We compromise those things instead of living to God's standard. There's 1,000 areas that we do this with our standards. See, it can happen when we say, God, I know what you want for me in my life, but I'm not going to do it because it's too hard. I'm not going to do it because I want to do it this way. And again, those can be things that are outright sin. Those can be things that from the outside, everyone would say, hey, there's nothing wrong with what he or she's doing. But we allow those things. You know, sin literally means to miss the mark. It's an archery term, right? When I go to shoot at the target, I've got that big red circle in the middle. And when I miss that mark, that's the word we get, sin. It just means to miss the mark. And we can miss the mark in a lot of different ways. Did you know that you can sin without breaking the rules? Did you know that? You know, sometimes we don't think about that. We think of sins of commission, things that we do actively, things that I put my hands to and sin and outright do something in disobedience. But there's also sins of omission. When I know the right thing to do and I fail to do it, James says this, James 4:17, for whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it's sin. See, we can sin in falling short of what God has for us when we know what God has called us to do and we don't do it. Well, I didn't know. Yeah, we do. We play that thing that our kids play sometimes. We can compromise in our standards. Instead of setting out into the deep, we settle for the shallow things. We settle for what's comfortable instead of doing the right thing. It's time to stop compromising. We can also settle relationally in our relationships with people. This can happen easily. We know the way that God has called us to love people, to love as he's loved us. And that's a crazy sort of love. He loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. That's a sacrificial kind of love. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. See, we know that God calls us not only to know his sort of love, but to give it. Jesus said this in Matthew 22. He said, the first and most important thing, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor how? As yourself. Well, I don't want to love my neighbor as myself. I love me more, right? It's easier to love me. I would rather do that than love them. But Jesus calls us to that higher place, to loving our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. Some of us, we don't grapple with scriptures like that, but when we think about that, what does that mean? To love my neighbor as much as I love myself? What would that look like if I were to walk that out? If I were to say, how can I love my neighbor as I love myself? How can I do that? That's a deep thing. That's a hard ask. That's not an easy thing. See, we like to love ourselves more sometimes, truth be told. See, but when we choose to sacrificially love our neighbors, our friends, our family, sometimes they're the hardest to love, those people that God has sent us to be around, we forget that it's not just about them. But God calls us to this deep place, not just for their benefit, but for ours. That when we will lay down our lives sacrificially for one another, God blesses us in ways that we could never have imagined. That our hearts are open and we are beyond blessed. See, sometimes we miss the blessing of God by not loving the way he's called us to. We think loving other people is all about them, but really God wants to do a work in our heart. He wants to change us by our love. So instead of setting out into the deep, we settle. We settle short. And though what we're doing outwardly looks good, we're not stepping out to those deep places that God has called us to. Another place we settle is in our calling. We stop short of God's plans for our lives. We know what God has made us to do. I tell you, this one hits home to many of us because this is the easiest one to omit. I can get my stuff together, but sometimes when I know what God is calling me to do with my life or with a part of my life or with a talent that he's given me or stepping out in faith in a certain area, it's easier for me to say, well, I didn't feel called to do that right now, right? It doesn't look bad when I don't do it. But some of us, I believe, God is calling us out into different areas. He's calling you to use the gifts that he's placed inside of you. He's calling you to step out, to step up in certain areas. The truth is that the shore is very safe. That's why we're so comforted when we're there. When we're tied to the dock, there's no harsh wind, there's no big waves, there's no chance of danger. It's safe, right? Some of us like safety. And let me just say this. It's okay not to be safe. Some of us make this our primary prayer. God, keep me safe. And I think there's times for us to pray that. Driving through a tough neighborhood. God, keep me safe. But what if, I love Mark Batterson. He's a great author and pastor. He says this. He says, what if we stop praying that God would keep us safe and we said, God, make me dangerous. Make me dangerous to the enemy of my soul. Make me dangerous to hell. What if we stop praying, God, make me safe, and started praying, God, make me dangerous. Make me useful. Use my life. Here am I, Lord, use me. Send me. I think God would change our world if we would begin praying that way. Instead of always praying, God, keep me safe, we prayed, God, do your will. God, use me. If it's to set out to the deep and to go take that step of faith to do that next thing in my calling, in my relationships, in my morals, in my standards, God, make me dangerous. Set me out into the deep places because I know when I go out there, you're with me. See, it is dangerous. I won't sugarcoat it. It's dangerous to step out into the deep places. For that big boat to go out into the ocean, there's a risk. But that's what it was made to do. If it sat in harbor all the time, it wouldn't be doing what it was made to do. It would look nice. You could have tour groups that go through it and look at it. Little kids could look at the cannons and the sails and say, wow, that's cool. But it wouldn't be fulfilling what it was made to do. And I think sometimes we don't fulfill what we are made to do because we like the safety of the harbor. God has made you for the deep places, just like that ship. He's made you to set sail. So what has God made you for? What has he gifted you to do? How has he purposed you to live your life? Set sail. Step out into those deep places. See, when we find ourselves settling for the shallow things, the superficial waters of port, we can miss out on God's best for our lives. And though God will not leave us or forsake us, he'll be with us as we sit in the port. That's not what he's made us to do. We miss the blessing of doing life God's way, seeing all that God wants to do in and through our lives as we step out. Let me encourage you. Would you take that step? See, sometimes we think it's got to be this big process. We just got to take that first step. We got to take that first step of faith saying, God, I want to step out into the deep. Sometimes doing God's things God's way can be scary. But let me just tell you, it's always worth it. It's always worth it. I think I could share stories around the room of people that said, I chose to do it God's way. It was so worth it. So how do we deal with those areas that we've settled in? Those things that we've settled for a shortened version, a watered down version, a shallow version of what God has for us. How do we deal with those areas? What do we do? I wanted you to read First John 1, 8 through 10. Would you actually read this aloud with me? Ready? Go. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stop. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our very first step when we find areas of our lives that we've settled in is to admit that we've settled. Let me tell you a truth that I think sometimes scares us, but sometimes comforts us. God's not surprised at the areas that you've missed the mark. Sometimes we're afraid to come to God because we're like, oh, I got this secret that God doesn't know about, right? I got one over on God. He already knows. But sometimes that's the hardest step for us, is to admit that there's an area that we've settled, the area that we've stopped short of what God has for us. It's easier to deceive ourselves than it is to deceive other people, particularly God. Our passage says, we say we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. Don't you know it's easy to deceive ourselves? I can tell myself, oh no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not messing up. This is the importance of having people that walk closely with you, that share life with you, that know about you, that could say, hey, you're deceiving yourself. That's not an easy thing to say. Proverbs says, better are wounds from a friend than kisses from an enemy. That idea that sometimes we need friends to tell us the truth. We need friends to say, hey, what's going on? What's going on with this area? You say, well, I'm good. There's nothing wrong there. I've chosen to deceive myself, but we need friends that can encourage us. So we've got to admit where we've settled. See, we're all in need of a Savior like Jesus. The truth is that it doesn't matter if you've walked with God or known Jesus for 10 minutes or 10 decades. We all need to continually come back to him and say, God, I believe you in the big stuff, but in this area, I haven't chosen to believe you. I want to confess where I've missed the mark in this area. I've settled. I've settled relationally. I've settled in my standards. I've settled in my calling. I know you called me to do this thing, to step out in faith, and I've settled short. I've missed the mark. God, would you help me? See, the truth is that we all need a Savior. Sometimes we need friends to carry us to that Savior, right? Sometimes we need others in our lives. So admit where we've settled. Second is confess our sin to God. See, when we find ourselves missing the mark, sometimes our tendency is to run from God, when in essence, what God has called us to do is run to him, to draw near to him. It says, confess our sins to God. We admit our need for his redemptive work again. Again, it doesn't matter how long you've known Jesus, whether it's just a name you've heard or you've walked with him your whole life. We all need to come back to him time and time again. See, none of us are good enough for God. The truth is that the Bible tells us that all of us have fallen short. All of us have missed the mark in certain areas of our lives. And by his grace, he saves us. He redeems us. He cleans us off from the filth and the mire of our dirtiness. And all we have to do is turn to him, to draw near to him, and to confess, God, this is an area that I've missed the mark. It doesn't surprise him when we do it. That word confess is this Greek word. I love this Greek word. It's homologio. It means to speak the same. To say, God, what you call sin in my life, I call sin. Those areas that I once said, oh, that's not a big deal. And then I come to your word, and your word says, that's a big deal. I say, God, where I said this and you say this, I choose to speak the same. I choose to confess that area of settling was missing the mark. I want to do it your way. That's all it means to confess. Doesn't mean we got to go into a small room and get on our knees and talk to a guy through a peephole. You know, it doesn't mean any of that stuff. When we confess our sins to God, it just means we come to Him and say, God, I want to speak the same things. What you say is yes, I say is yes. What you say is no, I say is no. I want to line myself up with what you say is right. That's what it means to speak the same. Some of you would say it's just calling a spade, right? It's just calling the truth. When we say, God, help me. Third step is to set out into the deep. So set out into the deep. Keep moving forward. Keep pressing into Jesus. Keeping our eyes fixed on Him, just as the song we sang, keeping our eyes above the waves. That as we set out into those deep areas, as we say, God, I want to do things your way. I've tried things my way. It hasn't worked out. I want to do things your way. That we set out into the deep places again. Those areas where we've put down anchors and we've settled. We say, God, if this isn't where you've called me to settle, then let me take up anchor and let me set sail for what lies ahead, for what you have for me. Because God, I'm not content with just good things in my life anymore, but I want God things. I don't want to just do things because they're comfortable. I want to do what you've called me to do. Sometimes that's going to make me uncomfortable, but I know that where you are, that's the best place to be. So we've got to move forward and not settle for less than God's best for us. So we've got one shot at this life. Will you choose to make it count? Will you choose to lose sight of the shore and step out into those deep places and do what God has called you to do and be? Because if you do, He'll be with you. And I guarantee it will be your best life. God says, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and life to the full, life abundantly. That's the sort of life that God wants for us, but that only happens when we will pull up anchor and step out in faith into the direction that God has called us to. Would you bow with me as we pray, as we close our time in prayer? Let me ask you this morning, what is it that God is whispering to your heart? What is it that He's been speaking to you about? As we talk this morning about settling short, settling for less than God's best in your life, I wonder, what was God speaking to you about? What was He prompting your heart with? See, I believe for some of you, God was speaking to you about how you've settled morally, how you've settled with your standards. You know God's ways and you know what God has called you to do. He's reminded you of your sin. He's reminded you of how you've missed the mark. And it's our job simply just to come to Him. If that's you and God's been speaking to you about an area you need to confess to speak the same, you can pray right where you're at, something like this. Father, I thank you that you're a gracious and loving Father. I thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place for my sins. In every area that I've missed the mark, God, in this area and others, God, I ask for your help in overcoming my tendency to settle for less than what you have for my life. I need your help. Spirit of God, I invite you to empower me to overcome this place of settling. Help me to be brave enough to set sail, to set out into those deep places. For others of you, I believe God was speaking to you how you've settled relationally. Instead of pressing into those deep places relationally, you've settled for less than God's best. Whatever area that is, if that's you and you've settled relationally, you can pray like this. Father, I thank you for loving me in a radical way. I thank you that you love me enough to come and die in my place for my stuff, for my missing of the mark. I ask you to give me your love for people. God, in those relationships where you've called me to love them as I love myself, God, help me to do that. Help me to lay down my own ways and my own thinking and do things your way. Help me to love sacrificially and wholly as you do. Help me to lay down my life and love my neighbors as myself. Others of you, God is speaking to you about settling in your calling. You know precisely what God has made you to do, but you've settled for less than His best. If that's you, pray with me right where you're at. Father, I thank you for creating me in your image and likeness. I thank you for putting purpose in my being, for making me for a reason. Help me to live out the call that you've placed on my life. Give me strength and courage to set sail and leave behind the comfort of port that I might find you where you're leading me. God, help me to set out into the deep places in my life. And finally, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I want to make an opportunity for anyone here that needs to take the very first step of faith today. You say, I don't yet know God's love. I haven't received it. You say, I want to receive God's love today for the first time. If so, I don't believe you're here by accident. God wants to give you his free gift of salvation. He wants to begin a relationship with you. If that's you and you haven't been walking in relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to admit your need for his forgiveness for your past, you need his power for your today and the hope of eternity and future. If that's you, I want to pray with you. With every other head bowed and eye closed in this place, if that's you, I want you to raise up your hand in just a second. I want to agree with you in prayer. I won't call you down front or do anything weird, but if that's you, you say, I want to say yes to Jesus today. I want to receive his gift of grace. Would you lift up your hand, lift up your eyes with every other head bowed and eye closed? Anyone in this room today? Thank you. Church, can we repeat this prayer? Let's pray it together. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, you said all I have to do is come to you. I come to you with faith. So as best as I know how, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive my sins. I choose to speak the same as you do, God. God, give me courage to set out into the deep, to do all you've called me to do, to live the way you've called me to live. I trust you, Jesus, for my past, for my present, and for my future. In Jesus' name, amen.